Bibles this morning. Look at this book of 2 Thessalonians. Book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 16. If you have trouble finding 2 Thessalonians, it's right behind 1 Thessalonians. And it's on page 2211 in the Life Application New King James Version of the Scripture. Going to start a new series this morning, a series on peace. I was really struggling with a title for the series, trying to come up with a good title. And so I asked my family members, Laura, Hannah, Grace, and Joel, and told them kind of the direction I was going and said, I need a title. So just quick survey. I want to see which one of you guys, which one of y'all think came up with the best title. All right, think about it for a minute. How many of y'all think Laura came up with the best title? Raise your hands, all right? Boy, Laura is taking a beating this morning, all right? So we got like four. All right, how many think Hannah Grace, the public relations major, all right? Wow, we got two, set, three, four. Okay. Wow, four. Joel is raising his hands in victory. How many of y'all think Joel came up? Look at this. Everybody's voting for Joel today. The quiet Joel. Everybody thinks he's the one. Joel is actually the one who came up with the title for the message. I love the title too, His Powerful Peace. So we're going to talk about peace today and for about 3 or 4 weeks on Sunday mornings. So look, if you will, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. Y'all know I'm in trouble with everybody but Joel today. And so the good news about this is Laura's out of town today in a training session for her work, and Hannah Grace is in Troy. So perhaps by the time I see them next, they will have forgotten that Joel wrecked them on Sunday morning in the title competition. All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. Well, Chip Ingram's a well-known pastor and author in Christian circles, and Chip tells the story. He was not a Christian growing up. He became a Christian his first year in college, freshman year in college, went away to school, became a Christian, came home for the summer break. And after he was home for several weeks, his dad talked to him one day, and his dad said, look, something's different about you. What is it? And Chip said, well, what do you mean? What's different about you? He said, there's a peace about you that I've never seen before, and I want to know what it is. And Chip's dad was a former Marine. He said he made the mistake one time of saying ex-Marine, and his dad made him really clear. He goes, you are never an ex-Marine. You are a former Marine, but not an ex-Marine. His dad was a former Marine and also an alcoholic. And so Chip was a little bit understandable, just a little bit nervous about trying to explain this to him. And he said, well, Dad, all I know to tell you is that I have given my life to Christ, have a relationship with God now, and I've been reading the New Testament. And his dad said, where do you get one of those? And so he told him where to get a New Testament. His dad went and got a New Testament. Listen to these guys. Here's a guy, former Marine, alcoholic, doesn't know the Lord. He gets up every day and begins reading the New Testament. Anybody convicted? Starts reading the New Testament every day. And over a period of weeks, I've begun to wrestle with the issues in his life, wrestle with his alcoholism, some other things in his life. And Chip's dad gave his life to Christ. And he began to experience the peace that Chip had experienced as well. And Chip said, you know, he said, wasn't it smooth? It's been lots of ups and downs, lots of, you know, sideways things and all that kind of stuff. But I love what Chip said. He said, peace is part of the package when we enter into a relationship with God. Peace is a part of the package. Why? Because, did you notice this morning that verse? Look what it says. The Lord of peace. God is a God of peace. It's a, watch this, it's a gift, but you have to choose it. It's a gift. Peace is a gift that God offers to us, but we have to choose that gift for ourselves. Now, here's what I got a sneaking suspicion of this morning. I've got a sneaking suspicion today that our world could use a little more peace. I've got a sneaking suspicion today that you could use a little more peace. And I don't have a sneaking suspicion, but I know with absolute certainty that our pastor could use a little more peace. All right? I got an idea that all of us could use a little more peace. And so what I want to talk about this series is his powerful peace. And I love the title. When Joel said that, it hit me because his peace is powerful. Watch this. It's powerful in our own lives. When you have the peace of God that does something in your heart, watch this, that nothing or nobody else can do. His peace is powerful in your witness for Jesus. Think about that. Here's a probably 18, 19-year-old young man just off from college, comes home, and his dad says, there's something different about you. I recognize a peace in you that I've never seen before. How many of you would love for somebody to say, boy, I recognize a peace in your life and I'd like to have it? But it's a powerful way. In a world full of arguments, in a world full of anger, in a world full of FOMO, fear of missing out, discontentment, wish I was somebody else or had somebody else, and fear and anxiety and all that, what a great witness for Jesus to be a person of peace. It's powerful, and it's also powerful in giving us the courage and strength to be on mission with Jesus. When you got the peace of God reigning in your heart, you're not afraid to share your faith. You're glad to share. I mean, you want to tell somebody about what Christ has done in your life. It's a beautiful testimony in our day. Suicide has become epidemic in our day, even amongst the most richest people of our world. And it's sad that people of all the people who would seem to have the most reasons to live, can't find one. And I don't say that with a smirk. I say that with sadness in my heart. If people come to the place where they have no hope and they have no peace, when Jesus offers that for them, and we all struggle there, and we all need some more of that. That's why I want to preach on it, not because we've got it down, not because certainly I'm an expert in it, but because we all need that. Now, if you look at the dictionary and look up the definition of peace, a lot of times it will say it's the absence of things. It's the absence of conflict. It's the absence of anger. It's the absence of hostility. But the Bible word for peace means much more than that. By the way, if peace is just the absence of something, we're going to struggle trying to find it, because you're not hardly ever going to find a trouble-free, conflict-free, harassment-free kind of life. The word for peace in the New Testament is the word shalom. And it means peace is the presence of something. Rather, peace is the presence of someone. It's the presence of Christ. It's not the absence of conflict, but the presence of Jesus. It's the presence of wholeness, of wellness, of completeness, of acceptance. And the idea behind shalom really is this idea of wholeness or completeness. The Hebrew people would say shalom whenever they would depart, where we say goodbye. Several years ago when Hannah Grace was in high school, the kind of cool thing to say instead of goodbye was peace out. And so we got her to peace out a lot of times around the house, you know, peace out, peace out. And it's kind of cool, but really shalom means peace in our hearts, completeness. Well, may the Lord's favor, may the Lord's blessing, may the Lord's completeness, the completeness of God's blessings be upon your life. And so if we're going to experience peace today, we've got to experience God. And that's what I want to talk about, because God is the God of peace. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3:16 again. Now watch what it says. Now may the Lord of peace. Now if he's the God of peace himself, it's an emphasis there. That's kind of like putting it in bold print, underline, italics. The Lord of peace himself give you peace. What does that mean? You're not going to find complete and lasting and deep peace anywhere else but in Christ. There's no true and lasting peace outside of him. So I want to talk about three words this morning from that verse that I think will help us experience God's powerful peace. All right, three words to help us experience the Lord, the God of peace. First of all is the word cause. What's the cause of missing peace? Why is it that so many people in our world today don't have peace? Because I think if you look back on the history of humankind, it's not a history of peace, it's a history of war and conflict and anger and fighting. And I don't think we want that. I don't know. I do think there's maybe one or two. But I don't think there's a lot of people that wake up in the day and think, man, I'd like some turmoil today. I do think there may be a couple. But for the majority of us, I think the majority of us want a life of peace. So if we want that, and there's a million books written about it, and there's all kinds of seminars, all kinds of things to say we can do it, why don't we have it? And the reason there's not more peace in our world is that there's not much peace in our hearts. You can't have peace in the world if you don't have peace in our hearts. The reason we have conflict in our world and conflict in our relationships is because we have conflicted hearts. Think about it this way. You got a man out there who's mad at his boss. He's dissatisfied with his money situation. He's angry that he doesn't have more time off. He's jealous that his buddies have more things than he has. And he's got a very superficial relationship with God. And he's married to a lady who feels very unappreciated at work. And she feels neglected at home. She feels like she's failing as a mom. She's worried about her financial future. And she wonders where God is in the midst of all this. And they have a teenager who feels like they don't really measure up in their parents' eyes. And they don't really measure up on social media. And they don't really fit in at school, and they feel like nobody really understands them, and they don't have very many godly friendships in their life. What kind of peace are you going to have in that home? Not much. And that's the reality of a lot of homes in our day. It's a very fragile peace. It's a very nervous peace. It's kind of walking on the eggshells kind of peace. It can't be peace on earth until there's peace in us. So where do you look for it? A lot of people look outward for peace. They look to a relationship for peace. They look to a hobby, maybe money, maybe career, maybe grades, maybe do really, really well in sports or something like that. And they think, more if I grab hold of that, man, I wouldn't have so much anxiety in my life. I'd have a lot more peace in my life. But how many of you know it's not out there, is it? Some people look inward. And by the way, outward, there are some outward things. Having good friends can help. Having secure financial future can help. But looking outward, there are some helps, but that's not the primary place. Some people look inward, and they try things like meditation and deep breathing exercises and things like that. And some of those things can be very, very helpful, okay? They can help some. But that's not the best place to look. The best place to look is what? Upward. Right? We look to God because God is the God of peace. And it's an interesting thing because peace is a person, not a condition. Christ is peace. And when you read the New Testament and you look at Jesus, he's in places and situations that would cause most, if not all of us, absolute panic. You're in the middle of a storm on a lake, and the most seasoned people you know, I mean, the best fishermen, the best boat people you know, are afraid they're going to drown. You would do what? Panic. People are after your life. What do? You panic. You know, all these kind of situations that would cause people to absolute panic, absolute anxiety, and yet in the middle of that, Jesus has astonishing, somebody say astonishing. He has astonishing peace. He has a supernatural peace. And so if he can live in some of the most panic-filled situations that you could ever imagine, and he has it's absolutely mind-blowing the peace Jesus has. Doesn't it make sense that that's where we need to go for our peace? Now, many of us know this starts with what we call being saved, becoming a Christian, having salvation, which means this. When you're born and you grow up, you sin. By your sin, now, this happens to everybody. The Bible says we've all sinned. By your sin, you become not at peace with God. Everybody comes to a time in their life when they are not at peace. The Bible even says that we're enemies of God. I know you may not want to be, you may not have thought about it that way, but that's what sin does. Sin puts us at odds with God's purpose for our life. And until we come to the place where we say, Lord, I realize that I've sinned against you, I realize that I'm doing my own thing. Either I've ignored God or I've actively rebelled against God. But until each one of us, no matter who you are, who your parents are, how much money you have, how much you go to church, until each one of us comes to a place where we say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. I realize I've turned my back on you, and I ask you to come into my heart, forgive my sin. Because of your death on the cross, your resurrection, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I give my life to you. That's when you get the peace with God. That's when that peace starts. Okay, it begins there. You have to start by going to Christ. But then after that, we have to grow in that relationship. The more we grow in that relationship, the more peace that we will have. You see, I heard a song the other week called Fighting for Me. Boy, we're probably not going to sing it as a congregational song. It's really hard to sing, all right? But here's the lyrics. This is some of this lyrics, Christian song called Fighting for Me. When the going gets tough and my strength's not enough, I see you showing up like never before. This battle for my heart, you took on from the start. Watch this. You are the peace when my mind's at war. Love that line. That Jesus on the cross fought for your peace, battled for your peace. He defeated the devil. Why? So that we could have peace in and with him. One of my former churches, we had just called a new minister of music, and his in-laws were visiting from out of town. They had been there about 6 weeks or so, and he told me, he said, my father-in-law, of course, you know, he wants to make a good impression on his father-in-law of the new church. And so he said, my father-in-law wants to go out and eat. He wants to eat a steak. Would you go with us? Do you recommend a steakhouse? I said, absolutely, be glad to. And so I picked out a steakhouse that I thought he would like. And so we all went out to eat. And when it came time to order, his father-in-law ordered fish. I looked at him. I looked at my minister of music. He's like, I don't know. So he orders fish. All the rest of us order steak. So I saw him the next morning. I said, well, how'd your father-in-law like the fish? He said he complained the whole way home wishing he got steak. If you want fish, go to a fish house. If you want steak, go to a steakhouse. If you want peace, you need to go to Jesus. You see, it's tempting to say, because you got that role there, fish house, steakhouse, God's house. But God's house is a good place to go, but peace doesn't come from God's house. Peace comes from God. Second thing, that's the cause. Second thing is control, okay? First of all, we recognize the cause is a lack of peace in our heart. And that comes when we have control of our life instead of Christ having control of our life. Who is in control controls the peace level. Look at 2 Thessalonians again. Now may the Lord of peace himself, watch this, give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you. In other words, Christ gives it, but we have to choose it. We have to receive it. You see, anxiety comes when we try to control what is out of our control. And guys, look, I struggle with anxiety. A lot of people struggle with anxiety. Some people's personality is that they don't have any anxiety at all, which gives the rest of us more anxiety because they need to help us worry about some things that are going on around the world. Some of this is personality. But look, when we try to control things that we cannot control, it's going to breed anxiety in our life. Our peace starts with salvation. It grows as we grow in Christ. Because here's the thing. If you're controlled by a situation you're facing, you're not going to have peace. If another person is controlling you, you can't have peace. You can't always satisfy somebody else. You don't even know what they want some of the time. If you are in control of your own life, which is where so many of our world is, you can't have peace. But what if God is in control? What if we were willing to say, Lord, I release this to you. Lord, this situation, I really would like for it to go this way. I would like for this person to say yes to my request. I would like for the raise to come through. I would like for people to like me. This is my request. But Lord, I want what you want for me. I believe you love me more than anybody. I know you know right where I am. And so, Lord, I'm going to release this situation to me. You see, you cannot control your circumstances, but you can control your character, okay? You have control over your character, your choices, but not your circumstances. You can't control how other people act, but you can control the choices that you make. So here's your weekly growth suggestion. I always like to have a little something for you to work on this week. What circumstance or person are you letting rob? Because if you're a Christian, God's given us peace, and so we tend to give it away. So what circumstance or person are you letting rob you of God's peace? Consider giving God control of that circumstance with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. In other words, Lord, this is the circumstance. This is the person robbing me of the peace in my life. This is what's keeping me awake at night. This is what I chew on. This is what goes on in my brain all through the day. Lord, I thank you that you know about it, you're in control, and I release that situation to you. And you can release everything. Here's the thing, guys. You can release everything to him and know he's always going to handle it with your best interest in mind. Isn't that good news? You can release everything. You don't have to be afraid of God. You don't have to be afraid of what God's going to do. It might be hard. It might be painful. People might hurt you. But you can trust that God can handle it way better than you can handle it, way better than I can handle it. And John chapter 14 is an interesting chapter. In John chapter 14, it starts off, Jesus says, you hear this at funerals a lot, let not your heart be troubled, okay? You believe in God, believe also in me. And so this is right after the upper room when they have the Lord's Supper. They leave the upper room, starts this talk he has with the disciples. Goes from John 14 to John 16. At the end of John 16, remember the first part of John 14, he starts it, don't be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. He ends it in John 16. Watch what he says. I have told you these things, what? About not having your heart troubled, so that in me you may have peace. Where's peace at? It's in Christ. In this world, you will have what? Rats. What about that, let not your heart be troubled thing? Well, you're going to have trouble, but your heart doesn't have to be troubled. Take heart. I have overcome the world. It's a control issue. Christ has overcome the world. You're going to have trouble. Your heart doesn't have to be troubled. So here's the thing I would encourage you to do is just say, Lord, I release this to you. Every time that anxiety hits, every time that peace starts to go away from your heart, that person, that circumstance, that situation you truly hate is happening that way. Lord, I release this to you and I'll do whatever you say. And that's where the peace is going to come from. Last of all, we have to commit to it. And I'm not talking about committing to peace primarily. I'm talking about committing to Christ. Everybody say Christ. This is not magic. It's not that, I'm not going to give you some breathing techniques. Like I said, some of that stuff is not bad. I'm not going to give you relaxation ideas. That stuff's pretty good too. But the biggest thing is to commit to Christ, commit to him, commit to saying, Lord, you are in control of my life. I want to do life your way. And that's where the peace comes in. One more time, 2 Thessalonians 3:16. I want to drill this verse into your mind, right? Now may the Lord of peace himself, everybody say himself. Give you peace. What's that next verse say real loud?
Always.
Dude, I could use that. How about you? Always. In wherever, everybody say it real loud. In what?
Every way.
I love the way that sounds. I'd like some peace always in every way, wouldn't you? Only Christ can give it. Only God can give it. And you're not going to sit there all day, every day, never have any trouble, never have any conflict, never have any situation where you're anxious, but you have to be willing to say, Lord, I release this to you. Lord, I give this to you. Chip Ingram says that when he had a new relationship with God, it made him a somebody. And when he said it made me a somebody, maybe a child of God. And there was nobody left to impress. Christ had taken up residence in me and I had peace. Think about that. When God makes you his child, you don't have to impress anybody else. Child of the living God. Your past has all been forgiven. He's with you in the present. Your future is taken care of. He is fighting for you. You see, sometimes the Bible, people project God as a God of war in the Bible, especially the Old Testament. But here's the thing. God didn't invent war. We did. If there was no war, God wouldn't start one, okay? He came into a world of conflict to fight for peace, for your peace, for my peace. And here's the thing. The more we know God, the closer we walk with God, the more we'll know his peace. The more we know his peace, the more we'll love him. The more we know his peace, the more you will glorify him, make much of him. The more you know his peace, the more effective you will be for him. And the more you know his peace, the more people will be attracted to him because of you. Wouldn't it be a wonderful testimony to our world if Christians were people known as a person or people of peace? I love what Charles Stanley said. He said, long ago, I came to the total assurance that God loves me. And God knows where I am every second of the day. And God is bigger than any problem life circumstances can throw at me. I was reading a story of it Dr. Stanley wrote, and talks about a time he went to the Northwest. Charles Stanley's, his hobby is photography, loves photography. And so he lives in Atlanta. He had planned a trip to the Northwest, and so went over all the details of his trip, prayed about it, felt like the Lord had given him peace to really go and have a week or two of just relaxation, photographing nature. It's just how he kind of how he unwinds. And so he got to the city, really prayed much about it, you know, felt really, really good about the trip. Got to the airport and went to rent a car, and the lady said, I'm sorry, I can't rent you a car. He's like, why can't you rent me a car? And she said, because there are no cars in the airport for rent. They're all gone. And he's like, man, I thought I'd went over every detail, forgot to rent a car ahead of time. And so that's really hard to do a photography. You know, he's going to travel around, shoot all these mountains and streams and rivers and sunsets. And it's hard to do that without a car, right? And so he took a cab to the hotel and got sat down at a restaurant. And he sat down at the restaurant, and he just prayed. And he said, Lord, you're in charge. I feel like you've given me every avenue to go on this. I don't know what to do, but Lord, I'm totally dependent on you. And he said, while he was eating his meal, somebody recognized, two guys walked by, recognized, and they said, hey, you're Charles Stanley, aren't you? They said, yeah. I said, well, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm up here shooting photography. And, well, how's it going? Well, not great. I don't have a car. You know, I forgot to rent a car, so I'm trying to figure out what to do. And one of them said, I live 45 minutes from here. We got three cars. We're not using one. I'll have it here in 45 minutes. He's like, you know, you don't have to do that. He said, it would be our honor to do that. 45 minutes later, a very nice car shows up for him to drive all week. So he's out there during the week, and he goes to this really, really remote place. I mean, really, really out of the way place. Sure, didn't even really know how he got there. It was a beautiful place, shooting mountain with lake in the foreground, and got there right at sunrise. And so he got him some really good shots, feeling really, really good about it, and got back in the car and noticed that he didn't have any gas. Just never occurred to him. I just never looked at the gas gauge the whole way out there. And totally on E. And so he thought about it, and since the time he left the city, he had driven 45 minutes or more. He couldn't remember passing a gas station the whole way. And this is pre-Siri days, okay? You can't say, Siri, find me a gas station, okay? So he can't do that. And so he said, once again, I pray, dear Lord, you're in control. I don't know what to do, but I'm depending on you. And then he said, I love this. He says, Lord, you are 100% in charge of my life. That's where it comes from, guys. Don't run past that sentence. You're 100% in charge of my life. Sat there a few minutes, an electric company truck pulled up. I mean, he's out in the middle of nowhere. Electric company truck pulls up, and a guy goes up the pole, makes some adjustments, and when he hits the ground, Dr. Stanley standing, hey, how's it going? Good, how's it going with you? Not great. he said, I'm about to run out of gas. I don't have any gas. He said, do you know where the nearest gas station is? He said, yeah, if you go right on up this road, quarter of a mile, take a left right there on your left. It's right there on your left. And he said, I barely had enough gas to go a quarter of a mile to get to the gas station. And he said, the thing is, my natural tendency would have been went back the way I came, and I'd have ran out. And there was another situation that week, similar kind of situation that week, where he kind of got himself in a situation. And this is what he said was so important to me. He said, during all those situations, three situations, all of them his fault, all of them things that he just overlooked. And he said, I was never once afraid, anxious, or worried. He said, I was a little upset with myself. I was concerned about what to do. I was concerned about how I was going to get out of the situation. I was embarrassed, you know, about how I put myself in this kind of a situation. He doesn't strike me as that kind of a person. He's more of a planner, I would think. But he said, here's the thing. He said, I was aware that I had a big need, and I was aware that God has always met every need of my life and that I could depend on him. And that's where the peace comes from. Would you stand, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed? With heads bowed and eyes closed.